You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Here we go. Welcome to Kind of Funny's Mortal Kombat in Review. That's right. We are ranking and reviewing every theatrically released Mortal Kombat movie. As always, I'm Tim Geddes, joined by Andy Cortez.
Bless. I saw that Scorpion mask and I kind of forgot. I was like, oh, Scorpion was in this movie. That's right.
Yeah, he was.
That's right. That's right. And of course, the new face of video games, Blessing at AOEA Jr.
You guys saw me try so hard to put this on during the intro. Like, I looked, as soon as Kevin hit the intro, I looked, saw that I still had the mask, and I was like, oh, fuck, I can do it. Try to put it on, and I was like, no, I can't do it. And I took it off. I can't make it happen.
The producer slash seducer, Nick Scarpino.
God, this movie.
I know. And, of course, the big dog, Kevin Coelho. Man.
They were like phases like for this movie, like where at first I was like, I can't believe that like this is how much they spent on the special effects. Then I was like, this movie's fucking hilarious. Then it was like, why am I wasting my time? Then I fell asleep for 45 minutes, maybe. I don't know. No, really,
it's the longest 90 minute movie of all time.
It's so long.
Let me catch up on what you missed, Kevin. James Remar, who is the main character, who is the new Raiden, says over and over again that katana is the key. And then at the end, don't know how.
What are you the key to?
What is she the key to?
Well, she wasn't. That was a trick, remember?
Can't wait to get into this. Cannot wait at all to get into this. Of course, this is Kind of Funny in Review, where each and every week we rank and review two different movie franchises. Right now, we are doing Mortal Kombat in Review and Pixar in Review, which is so fun to compare and contrast between the two. Let me tell you, I got some fun stats for you. But you can get this show on youtube.com/kindoffunny or roosterteeth.com in video form. If you want audio form, guess what? Search your favorite podcast service for Kinda Funny in Review, and we'll be right there for you. If you want to get the show ad-free and watch live as we record it, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny, just like the nanobiologist and Tom Bach did. Thank you both so very, very much for allowing us to talk about this movie. Mortal Kombat Annihilation, a runtime of 1 hour and 35 minutes, and Andy is correct. It is the longest hour and 35 minutes of all time in recorded history. Released on November 21st, 1997, directed by John R. Leonetti. He began his filmmaking career with Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
And ended his career with Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
Got on to direct The Butterfly Effect 2.
Oh, yeah.
They made a second
one. That one has a sequel.
They made it that? Yeah. They made a second one. They did make a second one.
And he had a type of movie he likes to direct.
The King of Sequels.
That surprises people that there's a sequel.
Also did Annabelle, which, while not the best.
I was going to say, I remember his name being somewhere else that we were talking about.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. It surprises me that the man that made this movie also made Annabelle. But and a movie called Wish Upon. Music once again done by George Clinton, including the song Techno Syndrome, the Mortal Kombat theme by The Immortals. Budget of $30 million, which is up from the $18 million of Mortal Kombat 1 somehow. Box office of $51 million. Down a staggering amount from the $124 million the first movie made. So this is just we're fucked all over it.
So they doubled the budget of the first one. And what What did they spend that on? Because I have to imagine it was all cocaine.
A good green screen.
Not getting the actors back.
Green screen.
Not getting the actors back. They must have paid everything about this movie screams like lost episode of Power Rangers.
Oh yeah.
Yes. I thought about Power Rangers so much watching
this. Effects.
Yeah, that probably would have had better costumes.
Dude, that's my problem. Well, I don't even want to start the sentence that way. One of my many problems with this movie is it looks better than a Power Rangers episode, but not better enough to like take it to a different category.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, well, you shouldn't have spent the money that way. That seems like a bad call. Because at least Power Rangers, you look at it and you're like, well, this is dumb and it's people in tights and it is what it is and they're right. using footage. But this is like, these were choices.
Stick of gum.
This is what you made. You're not making, you're not remixing something. You created this, you monsters. In terms of awards here, I didn't win any, but I got some facts for you about reviews that I think are fun. Finding Nemo, which we reviewed last week, I was shocked to see it had a 99% on Rotten Tomatoes. Mortal Kombat Annihilation. Y'all want to take a guess?
9%.
No, you guys already nailed it. Yeah. 2%.
This is 2%.
2% approval rating out of 43 critic reviews on Rotten Tomatoes. And on Metacritic, which is based on like actual professional reviews, it has an 11 out of 100, indicating an overwhelming dislike. I don't know that we needed that, but yes.
Could be worse.
And then some facts I want to talk to you guys about before we get into the our thoughts and the plot of this movie. How many flips were in this movie?
Oh, so many.
I'm going 19.
I'm going to go 50.
I'm probably way off. I'm probably 50. Way low.
Kev?
155.
Andy?
81.
Nick wins. 54. There, 54 flips in Mortal Kombat Annihilation. A flip counts any which way. Rating. A little barrel roll flip, a little front flip, a little back flip. All the flips, 54.
It was gonna be 53, but they're like, Shao Kahn, when you greet your dad, you gotta flip out the chair.
Gotta flip off the chair.
Absolutely.
You gotta flip down.
I loved that so much. Ray Park's first film role was as Raiden's fight double in this movie. Ray Park, obviously, Darth Maul, and Toad, infamously, in X-Men.
Couldn't tell.
Yeah. Robin Shao and Talisa Soto, so Liu Kang and Katana, are the only actors from the first film to reprise their roles. The other main characters are all portrayed by different actors. The only other actor to return was Keith Cook, but as a different character. In the first film, he was Reptile. Here, he portrays Sub-Zero. Sylvester Stallone reportedly turned down the role of Baraka.
Baraka. The one that's in, like, for what, 2 seconds?
Yeah.
So there's three of them too in this one, right?
So he wouldn't have even been able to, like, he just would have had a big prosthetic on his face, like a big old head mask.
No, they would have changed the character. He would have had heads. He would have been like, "Hey, Baraka."
He would have had like just like the
Baraka,
like the vampire teeth implants that people wear for Halloween. Like, "Hey, I'm Baraka, man."
And the last thing I have for you here is Kerry Hoskins, who plays Sonya Blade in the video games Mortal Kombat 3, Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3, Mortal Kombat Trilogy, and Mortal Kombat 4. Because remember, the Mortal Kombat games were like real people, like kind of motion, right, whatever. She auditioned for the role of Sonya, but did not make the last cut due to having no acting experience.
Oh, damn.
Which I didn't know movie was cutting people for that.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, why was this the only role where they cared about that?
Yeah, I don't know. Nick, I want to start with you. What did you think about Mortal Kombat Annihilation?
So as I mentioned last week, I've never seen this film. And you guys all sort of did the, you can't wait. And normally I'm like, come on, it's me, guys. So like my standards are way lower than the average human being for what isn't acceptable, or is and is not acceptable for entertainment. This movie fits into a rare category for me where it is barely a movie. I would actually say that they just forgot parts of the movie to film parts of the movie and just were like, who cares? It doesn't matter. I had a lot of trouble following what the hell is happening the entire time. And I'm pretty sure that's because nothing actually happens the entire time. But I will say shout out to the guy who played the Emperor, because he was really scary when he was the bad guy in the Sylvester Stallone film Cobra. And that is pretty much all I have to say about this movie.
Blessing, what'd you think?
This is maybe one of the worst movies I've ever seen. Like, I was shocked by how bad so many of the motion graphics were. Like, and they kept using them, which is the thing that blew me away. Like, they kept doubling down on, wait, no, we need CGI, we need graphics, we need all this shit. And by the time you get to the scene where I think it's Sonya who's fighting somebody, and then like she defeats, I think it might be Belina or somebody, like they have a tattoo that turns into a bird and flies away, and then the rock that's above them turns into a fucking dragon or some shit and tries to attack them. And then Jax punches that dragon out. I wish I this movie's bad. I wish it was fun bad in the way that Mortal Kombat 1 was.
Yeah.
But this one is just bad, where by the time I got halfway through this movie, I'm with Nick, that it was hard to follow. I was like, I don't understand what's happening in this movie. I don't know where we're going. And when we got to where we were going, I was like, I don't know how or why we got here. Also, why did Raiden get a haircut halfway through? And then, like a haircut that doesn't scream God at all. Like, I there's so many things that are wrong with this movie. And yeah, it's a bad movie. It's bad.
A new look.
Kevin, what'd you think?
I mean, it's just such a disaster. I feel really bad for the guy that played Liu Kang, because like he came in, like there's no way that he expect. He was like, "Oh, they're gonna do a sequel, then they want me, and this time it has a bigger budget. All right,
cool."
And then he came.
We're gonna make the one that we should have made. Yeah,
He probably came in. He looked around. He's like, "Oh, my friends are gone. Did we sign that? Oh, we did. All right. Let's do it. Oh, we're gonna go through tunnels for hours." All right. Yeah, no, this makes total sense.
Who's going to play? Oh, Johnny Cage is going to die quick? Oh,
right away.
Oh, damn, that sucks. Well, who's playing him? Oh, the 31-year-old from the next Karate Kid who was playing a 17-year-old, but he was 32 or whatever? Right. Oh, man, that's crazy.
Was it actually him?
Yeah. It was the same actor.
It was the same actor.
By the way, I think that my first clue that this movie was going to go south was when I read the script. And the first question that popped into my mind was, hey, how come at every second in this script, the bad guy seems to know exactly where the good guys are and then just doesn't kill them ever?
And why did they give them 6 days? Hey, Liu Kang, I'm going to do this real bad thing in 6 days. You have time to do the movie.
Just take off. The process of the two realms merging takes 6 days, right?
Sure. That makes sense.
Yeah, but like,
but Earth was created in... Earth was created in 6 days. I'm going to merge the... I forgot what Shao Kahn said.
Why did you need three tests to take out Shao Kahn? That's my question. Why do you have to do the test of courage? And also, did they do the other tests? They did two out of three tests.
I think the third test was that he had to figure out his animality, which was the third. I think that was what the reference was.
They
were referencing the game, which is test your courage, test your might.
Test your might.
And then test your knowledge, I think, is the third one. Wreckage is memorization, isn't it? I want to say. But basically, like, they did test your courage.
That we can't remember that.
And they did the test with Jade, and then I think they just abandoned it. Like, I maybe it was the animality thing, but again, none of it makes sense. None of it came together.
I just love, by the way, it's the same problem they had the first one, Bless, where it was like, you have to do three tests. And the first two go super fast, super quick. The second one is always like, what's your middle name? You're like, Michael. Done. Okay, you passed that test. We're ready to rock and roll. Let's go to the third one. It's just...
Andy, what do you think about this? I know that Mortal Kombat, the first one, holds a place in your heart with nostalgically and all that, but what about Annihilation?
I hadn't seen it in a long time, and for good reason. Again, this is a movie I saw in theaters. I was a little kid. I remember leaving and being like, wow, so cool. And my brother, who was older than me, was like, no, it's not cool. You think it's a good movie because you're a kid. And it was a really bad movie. I was like, you're stupid. It's a good movie. You know how Cyberpunk came out on old gen consoles and it was like, this is inexcusable. Like, how did this ship? And I had this feeling throughout the whole movie of like, how did you watch this? I can't imagine being Ed Boon and the rest of the MK staff watching this movie and feeling like they're doing right by the game and by the lore and by the characters. There are just, it really reminds me of X-Men Wolverine Origins or whatever, where so much of the CGI is just incomplete or just terrible altogether. I was just, throughout the whole movie, I was going, oh my God. Like, I can't believe this is on a final film right here, like on HBO Max, on a shoot.
It was in theaters. Like, that's, I had the same thought you did. I'm like, people paid money to see this in a theater.
It's shocking. This movie was shocking, Tim. That's all I could say. It's like astronomically bad. One of the worst things I've ever seen. I just cannot, again, not only, I kept on putting myself in the mind of one of the actors being like, oh, come to opening weekend. I'm in this new, like, this movie is just bad on every, it's awful on every level it can be. And it somehow is worse than I would have ever thought it was going back to watch it.
Yeah, totally. So watching this movie for me was so like weirdly unsatisfying because I was with Bless where I thought it was going to be good bad, at least to an extent of like, this is fun to laugh at. And like, it hurt to laugh at this. Like, there were moments I laughed for sure, but so much of it is just, it goes from like, oh, this is bizarre and that's funny, to this is bizarre and I feel offended watching it.
Yes.
Because the beginning of this movie, starting exactly where the last one ends off, and we watched that movie last week, so you'd think that we are more prepared than anybody to understand what's going on immediately. And none of it makes sense. Least of which is the movie starting killing Johnny Cage.
Yeah.
One of the main characters of the first movie did not need to die. Did not need to die in this at all. Did not need to die the way he did, which is so just pathetic and sad. They continue. They have this army that Shao Kahn has. We start this movie off and it's like, cool, it's him and his ninja army. Where are they at the end when they're having this one-on-one fight just our heroes watching Liu Kang fight him?
I mean,
where's his army of people to take over? It's so weird.
I feel like the director was like, listen, obviously we have to do the X-Men thing where everyone takes on the opposite opponent who was equal in strength, right? And then, but someone was like, cool, yeah, but there's an army, right, that Khan can use as well, right? And then the director was like, yeah, but I really feel like they should fight one-to-one. And then Ed Boon's like, yeah, but that was because they were in the Mortal Kombat tournament. Like, there's no tournament now. Now there's no rules. Anything goes. The only people standing in this Emperor's way are these three, like four people. Right? Just put everyone toward him. Everyone toward him. There's even a moment where he says, make sure you, like, put up a defensive guard around this temple that we're going to so that Raiden can't get in. And when they get there, it's just the three generals. I'm like, this is terrible.
After we watched part one, I put out a short video on Twitter of myself back in college where I made a little fan video where I was, is supposed to be like this stupid comedic video where I was Raiden, and like, again, stupid college video. It was an After Effects project, and it's almost better than a lot of the CG in this movie.
Oh yeah,
of just hard. Like matching the visuals. And why do they love going for this, like, they're filming out in the most broad open of daylight with the most crazy backlight, but then they're supposed to be in front of a dark, dreary sky. And the keying out, I posted a video on Instagram of a moment where I noticed, like, in real time of Raiden doing like a sort of punch, and so much of his arm is being keyed out.
His arm is actually being keyed out. I noticed that.
It's shocking. Like, the level of just not giving a shit this movie has.
Yeah, part of me had to keep asking myself, is this because I'm watching this in HD? Like, if I was watching this back in the day on, like, my old-ass 4x3 television, how much of that would have been obscured? But even still, like, watching it and being able to see all that shit was just unfortunate, because a lot of the times the CG felt like it was sub-N64 graphics. Like, when the dragon came out, it legitimately was like, this would look ugly if this was in Mario 64.
I had to keep watching because I was so fixated right here. I was so fixated on the seams in the clouds.
Yep.
That where, like, the
and
they are in every shot, everybody. Like, they are all over the place. Anytime there's a sky shot, you see the fucking seam of, like, the wherever.
Well, I mean,
the,
like, right there, go back to where he's in front of the sky, where it's just clearly keyed out. You can see the straight up, like, videocopilot.com tutorial on how to use key light for the first time. And it's like, make sure you blur those edges a little bit. So like, everything has a white blur around it because they didn't spill suppress the right way. It's so, and then also, this is my favorite. They had Shiva, I think is the character's name, right?
Yeah, look at how his body changes color because of the lighting that they originally shot in.
Look at that.
That white glow behind him.
It's shocking.
But you can tell it's the sun beaming down on him.
Here's the deal. I don't want any sarcasm here. We're going to go around and we're all going to say, what's one thing that we legitimately liked about this? And I don't want sarcasm. I want something you legitimately liked about this movie.
Oh, no.
Blessing, I'm going to start with you.
I liked Raiden's voice. I like the choice of changing the actors, because we made fun of it throughout the whole episode last week, and because it was really funny. But this Raiden's voice felt like it was straight out of a porno.
So you like that? Okay.
He had a chocolatey deep voice, and I was like, "That's the voice you give a god." Even though, like, I kind of want to make fun of it at the same time, because it was so distinct, and you also get other characters that also have like deep ass voices. But I do like the switch for this Raiden.
Now, Blessing, are you saying that because Raiden at some point hits on Sonya for no reason whatsoever?
Yes.
He's just creepily like, does she
everybody
fight
hit
as
on
well
Sonya.
As beautiful as she is? Or
no,
something
he
like
says
that
about Jade. He says that
was about Jade. That's
yeah,
what it was.
Jade.
Hits on Jade. I was like, wow.
He did hit
like,
on Sonya.
Was the first thing
right?
he said to someone.
To Tim's point about this movie, like at some points being offensive, like why did they do that to Sonya? Her nipples were poking out of her shirt throughout like half this movie. And it's like, why? Like,
well, on top of that, like they act like she was in love with Johnny Cage. Like she acts like she lost her love. We saw the movie last week. Yeah. They barely were with each other. They knew each other for 10 minutes.
They held hands at the end of the movie, Tim.
You can say the same thing about Liu Kang Katana also.
Yeah, absolutely, you
can. Where did that come from?
And we should, because it was totally inappropriate and so random. Andy, what is the thing that you like about Mortal Kombat Annihilation?
I liked the implementation of Cyrax's moves because I mained Cyrax back in the day. And even now, I still kind of geeked out of like the net coming out of his chest. It took me back in the day. I was a young kid and we lived across of HEB. If y'all don't know, HEB is like the Smart and Final or the Safeway of Texas. Mm-hmm. And my dad and I would walk across the street to HEB. And I remember seeing a kid playing Mortal Kombat, and I played a lot on Super Nintendo, and I was like, hey, Dad, can I play? He was like, yeah, give me a couple of coins, and I fucking destroyed this kid. And then I destroyed the kid's older brother, and on the walk home from school, my dad was like, wow, you're, like, really good at this. Like, that was cool to watch you, like, just dismantle these kids. So, like, yeah, the idea of Cyrax and Sector having, like, their chest with the sort of tech coming out of it, I thought was kind of neat, even though they kept on reusing the shot of, like, the machinery CG, like with the little thing, they reused it so many times, dude.
Kevin,
I don't know. I guess Ermac. We saw him as a character. That was cool,
dude. I did. I had to Google that. I forgot who Ermac was.
Yeah, he gets
he's
killed.
He's the guy with
right?
the red.
He's the red one.
Oh, he's the red one.
He's the one.
That wasn't Ermac. Was that not Smoke?
That was Ermac.
No, Smoke.
Smoke
was
the black one with the like. Because they also. Like, I don't know if they screw characters or later Mortal Kombat's like, you know what? No. But, like, Smoke is the one that looks like the yellow one.
That looks like Cyrax.
He looks like, yeah.
Yeah, Cyrax, yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
Wait, so was it, who was the one that made the double of himself then?
Ermac.
Oh, that's really confusing.
Oh, see,
I thought
didn't know that.
I thought that was Noob and Smoke. Because that's Smoke's ability. And, like, Noob and Smoke have, like, this dynamic where they fucking partner up with each other and Noob can make multiple of himself. And I don't think Ermac has that move. I'm getting nerdy, but yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, Ermac was always the red version of Scorpion and Sub-Zero.
Yeah.
And then Smoke was always the gray version of Sector and Cyrax, like the robotic dude.
Gotcha.
Nick.
I liked the Jax character. I thought he was a good addition because I think he fulfilled the role of sort of like the cocky guy being like, what the hell is going on? And that was what I was thinking most of the time. So he was just like, there's one point where he goes, Sonya, can you stop and tell me what's happening? And she goes, you're never going to get me, Jax. That's why. And she like totally blames like all this shit on him. He's like, I just want to know what's happening.
And he goes, who's Johnny Cage?
He's like, who are these people?
That's a good moment.
So I thought that guy nailed it. I think I would have liked to have seen his interaction with Johnny if it could have kept the old actor in this. But I thought he was good. I thought he was a fun part of the movie.
Fun fact, you know where
Tim, what did you like?
The name Ermac comes from?
Where?
Is it just backwards something?
His Karma. Name is short for Error Macro because I believe when that character first came up, it was like an error where you try to pick either Scorpion or Sub-Zero or some shit. And the character would be like miscolored or whatever when you choose him. And so people named it Ermac and that became
that's
an
cool.
actual character.
Oh, that's cool. Cool. Mm.
That's really cool. Real quick about Jack. It starts out and she goes to get Jack, sorry. She goes to get him. And he's on a surgical table. Apparently, mm-hmm. these implants have just gotten put on. And at the end, he just pulls it off like a sleeve.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
You know?
That's right, Kevin. So
that's right.
Was I the only person that thought that his other arms were gone and were replaced by robot arms?
Mm-hmm. No, sorry. You were not. No, you're not. I was right there with you. And I thought they looked really dumb and bulky, not cool and bulky, very plasticky as well. When they get pulled off, I was like, that was a choice that they should have not made in this already horrendous movie. Yeah. But the thing that I enjoyed that I want to give the shout out to is I liked the Sub-Zero Scorpion fight. It had some moments that I was just like, this is such a visually interesting thing they're doing here. The wire work is bonkers and makes no physical sense at all.
Oh my God. Yeah, Tim. The weird
spins and shit. But I was entertained. I was like, I am liking this. And this feels more like it fits the first movie than this movie. So that's the nicest thing I could say.
I just want to, like, for a moment, let's discuss. So Sub-Zero comes in and they're like, but you died. Clearly it's a different person. Right,
he was my younger brother,
and it's like, oh, I'm his brother, but like, make sure to call me Sub Zero and treat me the same, you know, because I'm gonna help you. Oh wait, Sub Zero's back, also from the dead. Let's not explain anything there. Scorpion. Sorry.
Scorpion. Like,
he comes from hell, though.
Yeah, he's from hell. That's kind of his vibe. That's kind of his thing. Sub Zero doesn't do all that.
But where does Scorpion go? Where does he go? He kidnaps. He fucking kidnaps the Kitana, and you think he's going to have a huge part as another villain, and he's going to be with Shao Kahn the whole time, and he's not in the movie at all anymore.
Yeah.
We don't know where he goes. Why is Ermac now the guy? Like, what the fuck happened?
Yeah, why is he the fucking guy? Wait, so there's no way I'm going to keep this straight, but who is Ermac, the one that was also kind of like camouflaging and chameleoning around a bit?
He's the red scorpion at the end. He's the one who fights Sonya. Okay, when Sonya's
Raptor 2,
the leftovers.
What was it?
Reptile?
Reptile 2, I think, not Raptor 2.
They called him Reptile 2.
I saw in
no way they called him Reptile 2. No way.
I was trying desperately to figure out who these characters were, so I brought up characters in Mortal Kombat Annihilation, and I think there was one called Reptile number 2 or number 3. That might have just been an actor that was like in one of the suits. Because at one point Reptile comes back.
Oh, because there's multiple of them.
Multiple of them, right?
Yeah.
That makes sense. So number 2 is just the second in the
second person that was in there. Yeah.
There
was also a character that I just could not figure out who he was. And he is, I think, the purple version of Scorpion and Sub-Zero. Yes. Who gets killed, and he's like, no, I need a new general, and then he puts Sindel in charge. Like, I don't know who that character was.
I don't think he was a character. Okay. I think he was just like a random dude. Because I had the same thought of like, there was the dude that Shao Kahn killed.
Yeah.
Because he hit him with his hammer, and then he fell into lava or some shit.
Oh, the line of dialogue there. Yeah, just keep talking. I'm going to find that line of dialogue because it's three lines written back to back, and not in a sort of Edgar Wright clever kind of way, like it's all for the greater good. The greater good, like it's not a funny, cool thing like that. It is really atrocious. I don't know who that guy is.
Let me see. Switch to...
While we're
pulling
here,
up the image right here, and this is the guy that gets killed, but that also looks like that's Ermac. Does he kill Ermac in this scene?
No, Ermac's at the end.
Yeah, see, I thought that was Ermac.
Oh, yeah.
But like, look at him. He's got the red...
Is that red or purple?
I can't tell.
Purple.
The lighting.
That
the lighting
looks more
on
purple,
him is purple,
but it might be the lighting.
Doesn't one of them have a name like Acid or something? Like something poisonous? The purple one? I don't fucking know.
Let's bring up the IMDb.
The point I was trying to make about the reptile fight. So yeah, it was Reptile, Reptile 2, Reptile 3, I guess. Is last week when we watched Mortal Kombat, one of the moments I loved the most was the scorpion flipped behind out of the tree reveal.
Yeah.
That was like super unnecessary. This movie's moment like that. Is the reptile fight where they're all camouflaging and they're all just and on top of all of them, like acting all like they're making this noises.
You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of Hot Fuzz with the two Andes.
Yeah,
when they're like when he leaves the frame and he comes back in. Like, oh my gosh, dude. What
anybody, if you could find that, the part we're talking about to show, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, 1,000%.
I like Tim. The character you're thinking of is Rain, the one that wears
Rain.
Purple.
Rain.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's who this was.
Rain was like an MK3 guy, I believe.
Yeah. By the way, going back to the Scorpion versus Sub-Zero fight, the one thing that pissed me off about that fight, one of the things that pissed me off about that fight was I couldn't help but to have the thought that ice doesn't work this way. Like when he made the whole the ice path and it started breaking down, I was like, that is very obviously like it looks like wood, you know, it looks like cardboard, like the way that it was breaking down. Ice doesn't work this way.
But the way he flew in too, I don't know what was happening there. When he flies into the scene as like the whoa, Sub-Zero's here. There's seems to be like an ice bridge or something behind him, but he's spraying at them with one hand and his other arm is down, and I don't know. It's a very confusing scene. I'll bring all this up when we finally get to the plot.
Turns out Rain is the character, according to the internet, that Shao Kahn killed.
Okay.
So it was rain.
I have to fix that in my
Please do, Nick.
Notes. Thank you.
And as you do that, Andy, give us the song.
Here we go, everybody.
Where the plot at?
I was going to keep going with it. Mortal Kombat Annihilation. What closes can also open again.
And the character has the same response. Like, what does that mean?
And this is one of those. So I've always wanted to do, and I'm sure people have done it before, and I'm sure I'm stealing this idea, but I've always wanted to do that one of those skits that you that where like you just put yourself in the movie as like what you're thinking. So when someone says that, it just cuts over and it's all three of them. And like Andy's in the back and he's like, what does that mean? Does anyone know what it means? Anyway,
he speaks in riddles. We don't know.
Oh, everyone. So the elders. The elders speak like a fucking therapist. But we'll get to that in a second. Might as well start off with the song and a montage letting everyone know what happened in the last movie. And
no, right, but here, first I'm off, like, I love that the song that they think that this is on the same level as the Lucasfilms title crawl. Like they think that like, like they think that this is their Star Wars moment of play that fucking song. That's how we're gonna start off this movie. The crowd's gonna love this shit.
Andy, were they wrong though?
No, they weren't wrong.
They weren't wrong, man. This intro was incredible.
This was the point where I thought, I was like, the guys are trolling me. This is a great movie. And Blessing and Tim were just messing with me saying it was shitty. And then the Emperor shows up and starts shooting a bunch of bad guys all over the place, including the devil himself as a centaur. And I'm like, nope, they weren't fucking with me. This movie's terrible. It's already hot garbage. Sonya, Raiden, and Johnny Cage have been replaced by their stunt doubles from the last film. And the Emperor went shopping for his costume at a Halloween Spirit. Fucking strap in, because this
But then he makes sure that his mask covers here, but you never really see it. Why is he talking like this? Why? All the entire time.
That's what you do.
Why?
You do when you're a bad guy.
His voice is...
The mask is covering...
He doesn't have the same voice.
Every part of his face except his mouth. And he makes it sound muffled.
His voice is so bad. Like, he doesn't have a deep voice, this guy.
Well, he does have a deep voice, but he's doing the thing that, like, LARPers do, where they start talking with the English like accent. It was like my liege.
Yeah.
You know, and it's that weird LARPers, and the dialogue's so bad.
Don't like
don't fucking defend LARPers right now, Kevin, because you're a closet LARPer.
Why do you have to always aggressively LARPers? Attack different communities, you know?
Well, it's a perfect example of what we go, because when they get in the costumes, they go, we're gonna talk with the old English accent, we're gonna get into it.
Goddamn force and beats your ass.
Well, first off, that's why I don't go anywhere near woodland areas. Unlike Jerry O'Connell, who apparently exists in them.
By the way, was there a scene where Shao Kahn took off his mask in front of us?
No.
I don't think so.
Because it went from him. When he has it off, it took me like half the movie to realize that was Shao Kahn.
That was him, yeah.
I was like, who the fuck is this guy? I was so curious because I was like, this guy doesn't look like anybody from any of the games. So I can't wait to get his name. And then it was when he was holding his hammer where I was like, oh, fuck, that's Shao Kahn. Holy shit.
Yeah. I like the idea that they put it down at some point and then lost it and couldn't make another one. So they were just like, he just doesn't have it anymore.
Well, also, I think what happened was it looked so fucking bad, Kevin. They were just like, let's just shoot him without it. Let's shoot him without this mask.
I also, shout outs. So when I was a little kid and I first watched this, I remember we saw Motaro for the first time, the horse, the centaur guy. And I was like, that's my
you
guy.
You popped off.
Yeah, I was like, oh shit, I can't believe he's real. And then he gets done.
I can't believe
so
it's
dirty.
Real. And then you see this fucking, like Nick said, so knockoff dirty. Devil horse.
You know, he looked but, like the guy, he looks like the centaur from, or the devil from the movie Legend with Tom Cruise and Jennifer Connelly. Yeah. Fucking weird. Tim Curry.
This interview is definitely going to be something special. And I'm going to try my best to not interrupt you every 5 seconds, Nick. But I love that already in this movie, it's been a total of 5 seconds of having movie stuff. takes off where the final movie ended, which, by the way, it ended with, cool, you beat the bad guy, but there's one bad guy above you. Like, this guy, he's huge in the sky. He's the bad guy. Right. And we learn 5 seconds later, oh, no, there's another guy above him. And he's just like this creepy guy in a hood. Dad? Who the fuck is it? Why? Why do they introduce so many characters? Like, especially killing Johnny Cage and stuff. And then they're just like, we need, how many characters should this movie have? And someone's like, I don't know, 12. And they're like, cool, 36. Deal.
Done. And let's be sure that when we the characters come on screen, we have zero context for who they are. Because people who play the game will know who they are. But people who have only played the game once in Laughlin, Nevada, and decided this is not for me, I'm a Street Fighter guy, has no idea who Melina is. Did you know she's in this movie?
God, what wasted potential.
I know. Like, she didn't even take off her fucking mask.
Why did she take off her mask? No, and like you show the ugly ass face.
But after seeing what they did with Baraka's face, like, it was gonna be crap. It was gonna be like, you know what I mean? Like, it would have, like, they would have taken it off. There would have been a hard cut, and then it would have cut back to her, and it would have been that extension added on top.
See, that's the difference though between this movie being like a bad movie versus the first movie being a bad fun movie, where you had Liu Kang do his bicycle kick in the air and it looked terrible, but at least we got it. In this movie, at least Melina pulling off her mask, I still would have had that pop of, oh shit, they did the thing, even though the thing looks ugly.
They did
as fuck.
The video game thing, yeah.
I feel like at one point we see Johnny Cage do like a weird kick thing. It's not the normal kick.
Like, yeah, he does like a
In this movie, he does like the ugly
terrible.
Ass.
Yeah, the, like,
it looked
weird.
Fucking terrible. You're right.
Anyway, as we continue, everyone else came back, including Kitana, whose mother is somehow younger than she is, because man, time sure works funny in Outworld. There's the woman with four arms who only ever just stands there, and the devil from Legend who also just stands there, and a Sub-Zero knockoff because we killed him like idiots in the other movie. Here we go. Sorry, I think I was referring to Ermac on that one, so I guess he's a real character. I'll delete that line later. Thanks, babe. When Liu asks how the Emperor and his goons managed to reopen the portal they shut permanently after winning the 1985 All-Valley Tournament in the last movie, Raiden replies, I don't know. I guess we forgot to put the chain on. Everyone starts flipping at each other, and the Emperor and Raiden get it on with really bad green screen that at times cuts through the actor's actual bodies, as Andy already noted. The Emperor, of course, captures Sonya with a whip. So Johnny jumps in, but gets his ass kicked and his neck just straight up broken. Bye-bye, dude from Karate Kid, the next class. A quote, in 6 days, you will all bow to me. It has begun. To which Liu responds, why 6 days? Why not like right now? And then someone else goes, because then we wouldn't have a movie. And then Liu's like, yeah, but I'd still get paid.
Yeah. We need the movie?
You need to go to the center of the earth. There's going to be all these tunnels that you're going to be standing around for hours fast. But you'll actually go so fast that you won't feel it. So it'll feel like you're standing still. That way we don't have to blow hair.
Kevin, how do we what's our positioning going to be in this ball? Do we sit like tandem? Like just one in front of the other person?
No, you're holding yourself up and you have to lean to turn.
Okay.
And you have to memorize it too, because next time the other person won't be with you. Also, to save money, we're going to use the same set when we get there and when we leave.
You know what they should have said, Kevin?
Now, is it okay?
They should have said, you know what? You can't talk in there either. And also, it's pitch black. And so, like, what's even the point of showing it? We don't need this scene. Let's just get past the traveling.
But I think the point of showing it was because whoever designed these balls was like, you have to stand literally face to face about a half an inch away from each other. So just imagine if you're not into the person opposite you and you're just smelling what they had for lunch on their breath the entire time. What an awkward way to travel. Just like a United flight. Let's see. Raiden tells Sonya, Kitana, and Liv the Emperor's merging worlds.
Southwest joke. That's all I'm saying.
Ugh, I like Southwest. I don't like United. And Earth to make hell on Earth. Emperor Shao Kahn has resurrected Kitana's mom, Sindel, and is using her to cheat the system somehow. Raiden takes them to the Velosphere, which can propel you through wind to any part of the world, Tim, in mere hours.
I didn't catch that. That didn't register to me as funny. That is fantastic. Like,
so, and then to which Johnny's like, wait a minute, let me get this straight. So you have a device that uses wind current to help propel it along at a certain pace that is going to let us get across the world in multiple hours. Yeah, I'm going to take first class. I'm going to take a first class flight instead. They have a drink service on this.
Oh my God. It's somewhere around here that we get Sindel talking to Katana, right? Is that coming up or did we pass that?
I think it's coming up way
later. No,
okay.
It's way later, yeah. Way later, right? Way Sindel later, talking to Katana. Yeah, that's when they like.
When she says something of like, you thought I was dead and I'm alive now.
Yeah.
No. It is.
Was that toward the end?
No. It's very, very, very beginning. It's very the very beginning fight. Yeah. You're alive. Yes, and you too shall die. That is the that movie clip will live in infamy as when you look up like worst movie scenes in history and you know scenes from The Room are there and stuff like that. That line of dialogue is 100%. Also an exchange that you always see in these little compilations because it's a truly shocking line delivery. Actually, I have it right here. I think I could just play the audio for you. One sec. Here we go. Let me make sure everything's unmuted. I think this should be fine. Here we go. Oh, she screams. Remember the scream. I have to actually, you know what? Let me just fast forward a little bit.
Mm-hmm. There it is. Fucking, I honestly think
you will die.
That's great. Good stuff right there. Good stuff.
Jesus Christ.
Anyway, so Raiden wants them to split up. Lou and Katana will need to find someone called Nightwolf. Sonya needs to find and recruit Jax. Raiden will seek out the Elder Council and file a complaint against Shao Kahn. Lou and Katana take the balls through the interchange, and it gets really awkward really quick. Back at Outworld, the Emperor is really bald. Turns out he has no hair for no reason, which is weird. But his papa is angry because Khan let Raiden live. He defied the Elder Gods to keep the portal open, so Shao Kahn needs to take care of Raiden before the old wizard rats them out. Lou and Katana almost make out until the Predator interrupts and a fight breaks out. Now, I didn't know this guy's name until just now.
Smoke.
So I'm just calling him the Predator. Everything seems like it's going okay until the Predator starts shooting missiles out of his chest. Thankfully, Sub-Zero's younger brother comes in to help and starts fighting Smoke. Sub-Zero believes Katana is the key to stopping Khan. And I'm like, wow, that's an interesting concept. I hope they beat us over the head with that for the next hour and 30 minutes. Why does he want to stop Khan? Who knows, Tim?
Who the fuck knows?
Why is Sub-Zero's... Let me ask you this question. Blessing.
What's up?
Okay.
What's up?
You and I are for this fiction. We are related. We are. You are my younger brother.
Cool.
And you adore me, right? Yep. Kevin's on the opposite side. Kevin kills me in Mortal Kombat. Mm-hmm. Do you A, avenge my death, or B, just go chill with him at his house because he's got all the good video games?
I mean, when I'm chilling with him, is he fighting Shao Kahn? Because like
he is fighting Shao Kahn. Yeah.
I don't know who Shao Kahn is, but he sounds bad. And so
Shao Kahn is my former boss who just staked me in this Kumite tournament that I just died.
Brainwashed. Okay. Kind of. See, here's the thing. I feel like I could win you over real quick. I'd just be like, Shao Kahn brainwashed him, right? That's what happened in the first one. They were brainwashed zombies.
Was that confirmed? Oh, I guess they were. Yeah, they were. Did they confirm they were brainwashed?
They were acting like they were brainwashed. Yeah. There's a moment where they said, it doesn't matter. Like, you're in. Come on. We're going to beat Shao Kahn together.
So if they were brainwashed, that makes sense. But I didn't know that. Yeah. So
no,
disregard
instead,
that.
I did also find it weird that it was like, we killed your brother. Cool. I'm on your side. And it's like, wait. Why? Okay. No, you guys have to address this. Like, you killed my brother. We should throw hands or something. Like, we got to fight now.
Yeah, we got to
throw some ice at the very least.
Well, guess what?
He also disappears exactly like Scorpion does. More so than Scorpion does, because there's that moment where after the fight, he's like, you have to go find this guy.
They're both gone forever, Kevin.
And then he turns around and he's like, oh, he mysteriously disappeared. I'm sure he'll come back to help later. No.
He never does.
Maybe Scorpion and Sub-Zero show up at the end again to fight with everybody else.
That'd be cool. But no, Scorpion shows up here first. And then Sub-Zero number two leaves. He makes them a frozen bridge they can get across, but then they start fighting. But then he leaves a cool frozen version of himself, like a snakeskin, Kevin. I was like, that was kind of a cool effect. And then this fight scene goes on for a while. And man, they did not have the budget for the costumes they had in the first one. And then Sub-Zero beats him. And then at some point, I think the whole point of him in this scene was like, I'm going to help you by making this ice bridge. And then Lou goes, cool, fuck your ice bridge. And then just flip jumps all the way across the gap. And Sub-Zero's like, well, that's all I had to offer you guys. So I'm going to go back to where I came from. Tim,
maybe he left because of embarrassment. Go ahead, Tim.
That's an excellent point, Nick, of why they need the bridge if Liu Kang could just flip. But this goes back to what I keep saying of this movie takes place right after the first movie, which means Liu Kang, a mortal, has understood this whole world he's in for approximately, 3 hours maximum his time? And now he knows how to fucking flip jump into eternity? Like, all right. I don't know why I'm questioning the logic of physics in this movie, but I am. To an extent where I'm watching this, I'm like, well, this is dumb. Just walk across the ice bridge.
Yeah, just go use the ice bridge. Use the bridge. Of course, Scorpion is there to kidnap Kitana, which he succeeds in, and Lou wants to go after him, but Sub-Zero number two tells me he has to continue on and look for Nightwolf. And he was like, why is Nightwolf going to come with me? And Sub-Zero two is like, I got 2 pages in this script, bro. I don't know what the hell happens at the end of this thing. Sonya and Raiden end up at a medical facility in Hawaii to rescue Jax and his big arms. Sonya tries to hack the computer at first. When that fails, Jack just uses those arms to break free until Robot Scorpion comes in, whose name is Cyrax now, I learned that, and starts shooting grenade balls all over the place. They all get it on, and Sonya blows a kiss of flammable powder and barbecues Cyrax. And then Cyrax's little dragon fly tattoo flies away as it rips off the predator. As if ripping off the predator hair wasn't enough, they also gave him a self-destruct sequence in his arm that has blinking lights. There's no originality left in the world.
The dragon tattoo turning into a little CG dragon and flying away. Like, of course it's stupid and doesn't make sense at all, but it's weird. But like, tonally just doesn't feel like it fits, right? Like, that looks like a little kid's happy dragon. I know last week we were joking about the bowling alley stuff, but like, this doesn't even feel like you would make it to a bowling alley pin if you got like 2 pins down. Like, they're not even doing that for this fucking thing.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. I was very confused by all this because I also wondered, and I may have missed some lines of really important dialogue, like Jack's even getting the arms. Yeah. Like, it's like he was preparing for a lot of this, but also had no idea any of it was going to happen. And also, he's still like a cop. So is he going to show up back to the force? Like, unless he got pulled into all of this and being like, got these robot arms now. Like, I just don't fully understand a lot of Jax's backstory.
I kind of felt like there was like a throwaway moment where she's like, Jax, he loves technology kind of thing.
But yeah, like we last saw Jax in the last movie that again happened maximum the last 2 days?
Yeah, and being like, Sonya, don't get on that boat. I'm gonna go because if you do, I'm gonna go put on those robot arms.
I think I assume it's whatever division of the force they're on. Cause they're Sonya and Jax are definitely part of some non-standard, non-traditional police force, and I think that force is probably what bought Jax the arms and like equipped him to be like this fucking killing machine that can big punch budget. 4 times his force. Yeah.
How did stuck on the table though?
You know what? I didn't think about that part.
Who performed it?
And like, when? Why did they just leave him on the table? Because it seemed like he was there against his will.
Yeah.
No, he seemed excited for it.
Yeah, then why strap him down to the table with such exuberance?
Force.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess that makes sense.
Also, okay. 4 times, not that much, right?
What's that?
That's a lot. If you're strong like Jax,
if you can bench 250, you can bench 1,000 pounds now, okay?
Yeah, but like fucking the mountain can bench 1,000 pounds. Remember? Mm.
Yeah, but you can't do it over and over again. You have to imagine these things are like, I could lift this Coke can, now I can lift the Coke can four times as heavy.
You can lift four of them.
Four of them. Oh, man.
You know what I'm saying? Like, anyway. Like that against the force doesn't seem like it's going to do too much. Like, yeah, I don't think if I was 4 times stronger, I could punch a horse in the chest and take him out.
You never know. Khan's generals talk a bunch of shit to each other over in his little sneaky lair, and it feels like it's straight out of Power Rangers. Shao Kahn kills Rain because he let Raiden go, so he needs another general. Everyone wants the job, but Khan nominates Queen Sindel. Lu ends up in the desert where he fights
I really want to just play this line of dialogue I was mentioning earlier because I found the exact spot.
Go for it.
This will never happen again.
It will never happen again.
So he gets destroyed. And then...
It is true, this will never happen again.
that has to be an editing mistake. That has to be... Like, one of those was not supposed to be in there.
It's just so funny to me. It's just so terrible.
He was telling... It's the first time he was telling the purple guy, Rain.
Won't happen again.
After he killed everyone, he was looking around and being
won't happen again. I don't think he quite nails the line delivery.
It's just weird. Like, I feel like one person edited the first part and then Rain gets destroyed and a second editor came in. I was like, oh, this is a good line to start with without seeing the lines that preceded it.
That's what it feels like.
Really bizarre.
When Lu gets to the desert, he fights a wolf that turns into Night Wolf. Then he asks Night Wolf's help finding Katana, but first he must pass three tests. And Lu's like, fuck, why?
I love when Nightwolf comes back to human. It's like, pretty cool, huh?
I guess.
It looked so bad, though. Like, his face looked terrible. So dumb. Like, as it was transforming.
Yeah.
You don't understand. I already did the three tests.
I did those yesterday. It's like, Kevin, it's like when you go to the DMV and they're like, did you do the test? Yeah, I did the test. I did the test last time. I don't have to do the test. I don't have to do the test this time.
I'm good now, right? Like,
yeah, I did the test again.
Yeah. So the actual test that had been in the Mortal Kombat games, right? You got test your balance, test your luck, test your might, test your sight, test your slice, and then test your strike. And that's been across like Mortal Kombat, the old ones up to the new ones. And so I don't know which ones were there at the time, but
Night Wolf is supposed to be this wise sage pretty warrior, cool, right? Huh? He was pretty cool, huh? It's my animality.
Yeah.
That's what he said. That is what he
said. Before we move on, let me tell you about our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Kinda Funny Reactions each and every week right here on youtube.com/kindafunny and the Kinda Funny Screencast podcast feed. We come at you with all of our favorite new TV show and movie reviews. It's not in review. It's not us ranking and comparing it to other entries in the franchise. It's just giving our first reactions, our first thoughts, our impressions on things like Invincible, Falcon and Winter Soldier. We just did WandaVision. We're going to continue to do a whole bunch of different things. I imagine in the future, we're going to do stuff for like the show Dave when it comes back, just because we enjoy it so much. It's kind of a passion show. It's all the things that we love most that we want to talk about. And it's a good time. A little shorter pieces of content. They're more like 20, 30 minute podcasts as opposed to the epics that we have here in review. But no matter what, I think you're really going to like it. We have some fun guests. We have a lot of the core Kinda Funny members you know and love. Me, Kevin, involved in a whole bunch of them. We got Blessing on some, Greg. We got Nick, Andy, all of that. But then we also have Paris joining us for the Falcon and Winter Soldier. We have Blessing on the Invincible Invincible Kinda Funny Reactions now. It's great stuff. You should check it out. We're really proud of it, and we hope that you like it too. Every week, multiple episodes sometimes. Cool stuff, guys. Yeah, that's what he said.
Of course, he's like, the first test is of your courage so that you can find your animality. And then he throws an axe into Lu's chest, so which apparently makes him dream about his past failures. And then he wakes up in snow face to face with Jade, who is pretty naked in this and starts coming on to him. But I guess this is test number two because he resists. He's like, I'm going to resist this whole temptation thing because my heart belongs to another. So she slaps him in the face and then they fight. Congrats, you passed the second test.
What do you guys think was going on with the axe when Nightwolf hit him with the axe and he started dreaming? Like, do you think the axe was magical? Do you think he was drugged? Like, why did he start dreaming about shit?
I find it best, Blessing, to not ask questions. Okay.
Yeah. There's no way.
I do like to imagine that, like, that's where he died. And like it cuts back to his dead body, and the axe is just implanted in his brain. Like it's impaled in his skull.
He was like, "Fooled you! There's only one test: dodge the axe. You dodge the axe, you failed."
Do you guys recognize the actor?
No,
but his name is Nightwolf.
Lightfoot's his real name in real life. Yeah. He is the he's Little Bear in Indian in the Cupboard.
Oh my god, I just clicked on it. Holy shit. Cool.
Jade offers to take Lou to where they're keeping Katana, but he can't. But he can't go there because there's one more test or something. And then Khan gives Katana some. I can't remember. He's like, I can't go yet. I'm not ready. And she's like, what? Just fucking go. Khan gives Katana some water, which he immediately spits in his face. And then Jax asks Sonya to catch him up on what's going on, but she tells him to use his imagination. And he's like, what? And then Sonya says, you could only rely on yourself because Johnny died. And Jax is like, who the fuck is Johnny? What is
where
happening?
Are we?
And then he's like, are you still mad at me because I didn't get on the boat with you? Is that what this is all about? Oh, then Sonya gets attacked by someone she thinks is Katana, but it's not. It's actually Melina, so they can fight in mud. Sonya gets attacked by a big monster, so Jax comes and punches it in the gooch.
God, it's all so awkward.
I can't even imagine this looking even decent on even old TVs. Because that's the thing I keep trying to tell myself. I'm watching in HD, like I'm seeing more than I should be seeing, and the director's intent. I can't imagine watching this back in the day looking any sort of passable. Because it's Jax is basically punching air, and then the CG is just having to like react, like they're trying to animate it to react, like it's getting punched by Jax, and it looks terrible.
At least it's not as bad as what we get later of Liu Kang holding the camera, fighting with it.
Look, he's punching it right. Andy running back, watch him punch right in the gooch. Ready, gooch.
When the centaur gets punched, when he punches the centaur, like they just.
I love when it disappears right here. Amazing!
I told you these arms are good for something.
And then he says, and then he follows up that line with, I don't know what the hell is going on here, but you do look good in mud. And she goes, Jax. And he goes, what? Come you on. Do?
It's so bad.
It goes back to like the bad offensive thing that Tim talked about earlier. Because again, like they treat these characters so bad. Anytime there's a woman on screen, it has this air of misogyny to it where it's like, why are Sonya Blade's nipples poking out at every moment? And why is every male character, including Raiden the God, hitting on Sonya?
Raiden the God.
It's funny too because someone was like, well, we should kill off Johnny because Sonya can't share the screen with two guys because obviously she has to choose between one of them, right? So she has to have some sort of love interest
because otherwise she has no purpose
for being there, right, in this script.
You know what? I take it back. I agree with Nick about what my favorite part of this movie was, is like right here in this sequence as they see all of Shao Kahn's forces sort of warping in. He goes, they don't even use parachutes. that's like an actually funny line. Like come that's on. The and I was like, oh, that's
killed
that's
it,
pretty
man.
Good. Yeah.
Don't sleep. Let's see. Where the heck are we now? Raiden goes to this my least favorite scene of this whole thing. I can't even joke about it being favorite. Raiden goes to talk to the Eternals, where there's three of them and they're all in different weird little elements. And they grant him three questions, but the Eternals only speak in vague terms and or answer questions with questions, like a bad therapist. Hey, why did you allow Shao Kahn to reopen the porthole? Why do you think we allowed Shao Kahn to reopen the porthole?
I would like to see the sequence where Raiden eventually leaves and they all are just like the spirits are sort of sitting there in their weird sort of ethereal forms. And one of them goes, do you really think he's going to cut his hair? Like, man, that'd be crazy.
It's going to be so funny. Of course, they tell him what everyone already knows. Reunite Katana and Sindel. Katana is the key. Jade and Lou meet up with Jax. I think that they also tell him that. Something about his, does he really care so much about these humans that he has to give up his immortality? And he's like, no, can I say no? But he does anyway, and he cuts his hair. Jade and Lou meet up with Jax and Sonya, and Jax immediately starts hitting on Jade. Yeah.
His hair getting cut, do you think that was him giving up his mortality?
That's what I thought it was.
Yeah, that was the whole point.
All right, that's what I thought.
But also, Sonya, she recovered quite well after being in mud and just having, like, being just covered in mud, her white t-shirt. She found a river full of fucking like downy detergent and shit. And she had shampoo as well. And she recovered quite well. Good for Sonya Blade.
Good. Yeah, there it is. Let's see. Shao and his extermination squads roll in. So they head for the hills. And we get a weird Disney Channel / Nickelodeon montage where they're running on the hills and the bad guys are down below them and then the bad guys are above them and they're running below them and all those sorts of weird stuff because someone was like, we really like this rock quarry and we're going to use it for 8 different locations and we're not even going to dress it up. It's just going to be, because it's probably the same location they mounted the temple set on the end too. Ridiculous. Raiden tells them that they all have to work together and then he just immediately disses Jax. He was like, you all have power. You guys got to work together. Jax, what's with those fucking arms?
And Jax is like, responds like a normal human being. Like, hey, bro, we just met. Can you step off? Yes, you make me 4 times stronger.
Oh, God.
Raiden's haircut killed me. I loved it and hated it at the same time. It felt like when putting together the movie, the directors were like, all right, so we need to have somebody who's going to be like the sex symbol of this movie. We need somebody who on social media, I know this is before social media, but just imagine social media was here. On social media, people are going to go crazy about it the same way that people went crazy about Catherine Hahn and the WandaVision, which I know came later, but still stick with
like
me.
The hot sort of...
We need the hot breakout star of this movie.
The daddy kind of silver fox guy.
Yeah,
you know?
We need like somebody who like, you know, when Vision in the last episode was looking like a daddy, was looking fine. We need that out of this movie. And somebody raised their hand. They're like, what if we did that with Raiden? And like everybody like, you know, paused for a second. They're like, you know what, man, that's not a bad idea. And they went with this haircut and it failed.
Like if you would have told me that after that sequence with the elders, they tell him what he has to do. You have to give him your mortality. And then there's like a shot of him like sitting from the side. And then he like grabs his hair and like shink. And then it like it cuts to another scene. Right. You just see him like do a big lop off of the hair. But if you would have told me that behind the scenes, they shot all of that in a reshoot and could not afford the wig artist, could not afford any of that. I would have believed it because I would have been like, oh, this, they just explained it away as him going, yeah, how do you think about the new look? Yeah. Like, it's just, it makes no
sense. He looks like a forgotten member of NSYNC. Like, he looks like a Backstreet Boy.
Really
like
weird.
He does look a lot like Lance Bass. What's amazing is, though, Andy, and can you please bring this up? Because I put a note in this, but we skipped past it, but I think it's really worth going back to. How he enters the scene is, dare I say, everything.
The elder scene?
No, when he comes in with the new look, he like flips a bunch of times into the scene, if I'm not mistaken. And then he goes, what do you think of my new look? Pretty cool, pretty good, huh? And everyone's like, here it is. No,
it is.
It's not good.
I got it right here for y'all. Liu Kang's like, well, when's this guy gonna get here? Oh, here he is. Whoa.
No! There he is. Never give up hope.
Like, what does he say? What is it?
Thank
like,
you, like, thank you, Nick.
Raiden? And they go, it's new look. And that's it.
He gives them a vibe that he's been doing drugs too. But he like just got done doing Molly or something.
Whoa!
But it's totally like their reaction to him is totally like when your friend tries something new and you're like,
why is he doing this to himself? Yeah.
But it also looks like it could be like you can cut that out and put that as like a PSA for not doing drugs. You know? Like you just never give up hope. Drugs are bad. Please do the next slide.
Like it's like a PSA for when you're the parents like your son becomes a druggie and it went from looking normal to that. And you're like, oh fuck, we've lost him. We've lost him. We need to just have another one.
God.
Anyway, the two worlds are merging. Let's see. Where are we? Where are we in this, guys?
The two worlds are merging.
They all have to work together, and then he disses Jax's arms. Shao Kahn orders
Sindel. Oh, I didn't mean to. Sorry.
Shao Kahn orders Sindel to destroy everything, and she kind of does it. But luckily, Raiden manages to open a portal to Outworld, and they bounce. And then he goes, they've taken the bait. And like, oh no, the whole thing's the whole thing's just a red herring. That's crazy. The two worlds, of course, are merging. And of course, Andy, what do they got to diss? Who they got to fuck with every single time, guys? SF, the Golden Gate Bridge, always has to be there, getting all fucked up.
Oh my God, the footage of the city of these cities.
You mean the stock footage they got from Pond5.com?
But Pond5 recorded on way older cameras, just none of it matched whatsoever. It was like shocking how different those sequences looked from. The actual movie.
Yeah, because it's so funny because it's like, oh, there's some place you know, and now we're back in a like weird ditch. Mm-hmm. And it's like, all right, okay.
Like, I guess I'll put two and two together in my brain. Anyway, they decide to head to Shao Kahn's fortress to rescue Kitana, but it seems like a trap. which they bring up. So Jade offers, she's like, well, it might be a trap. I'll show you the secret way that I used to escape. And they're like, we trust you implicitly, Jade. Let's go. Shao Kahn and his father talk and tell the audience the same thing we already know so we can go past that. Liu and the gang get ambushed by Sindel and some invisible reptiles, knockoffs. But it's a blessing in disguise because they need Sindel to close Khan's portals. So they all fight. Portals. And man, James Remar's stunt double can fucking move. And I did not know that it was Ray Park until you told me, and that makes a lot of sense because he's the only one in here in this whole fucking movie that's actually worth watching fight.
Andy, can you please bring up the reptile bit?
I do have it up, yeah. I do have it up right here. He looks this because, side.
Yeah, dude, and it just keeps going, though. It keeps going. Like, why are we moving this way? Oh, it makes me fantastic. So much joy.
It is I love fantastic. This.
Anyway, he beats them up, and then Jade finishes off Sindel off screen, which seems totally on the up and up. And then Khan orders his men to find Raiden, even though they seem to know exactly where everyone is at any given time and can attack them whenever they want. The Eiffel Tower comes up from the ground, which is cool, as Liu uses the secret passage provided to him by Jade to sneak into Khan's lair. And then, of course, he gets immediately ambushed, and then Kitana tells him it's a trap, to which he replies, yeah, I know. They're already fighting me. Maybe just tell me before I get in that it's an ambush. Anyway, it doesn't matter because he's fighting not one Baraka, a bunch of Barakas, I think. At least three that I could count.
But that's canon, right? Like, there's a bunch in their world.
Yeah, there's, like, Baraka is, like, a race of people.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, but they did swinging on these fucking things.
I also like in that sequence where they killed Rain way early on that they mentioned Cabal and Stryker. It's like, ah, oh, cool. Like, that as a kid, they didn't have to show Cabal and Stryker, but you just had to hear, we managed to find Cabal and Stryker. It's like, oh, wow, those are the other characters in MK3. That's cool.
Lore.
Yeah.
Everything goes pretty well for him because he beats Baraka pretty easily until Shiva comes up so they can kill her real fast by dropping Katana's cage on her because it turns out that arm effect, very expensive to do, and no fight for Shiva. Katana goes to her mother's side as Raiden's VO tells her that Katana's love for her younger mother will bring her back to life, but it's a trap. Jade double-crosses them. And I never saw it coming, guys.
Sindel can get it, let me tell you. Jeez Louise.
Sindel is a solid 2 years younger than Kitana, right?
She is 4 years older than Kitana. I just looked it up.
Okay.
Well, like, she might have died when she was a kid, you know? And then, like, Kitana kept growing. Sindel, and they brought her back. Is she a zombie?
Screams a lot.
Sindel in the game, also fine. Like,
yeah,
could also get it. Yeah, so it's canon.
Yeah. Of course, guys, this is where we get the big turn. The legend was a lie. The legend was a lie. The legend was a lie.
The legend was a lie.
Fucking legend. What was this? The legend of the kid that's going to bring balance back to the Force? What are we talking about in this movie? Khan's portals will stay open no matter what. Sindel, this is all just a red herring. You're all screwed. Sindel spins around really fast and then disappears. Again, time number 15, where we know where they are, send all the forces in to kill them. For Christ's sake. But we need more of this movie. Raiden, of course, has the same tattoo that the other people had because his dad, dun-dun-dun, is Shao Kahn's dad, which makes them brothers. Then Shao Kahn gets mad at Jade and Sindel for failing to kill Raiden, even though I'm pretty sure they succeeded in doing what they needed to do, which was get them over to the Outworld. And really, it was up to Shao Kahn there to kind of bring some people there to kind of finish the fight. But it doesn't matter because he orders Sindel to set up defense around the temple in case Raiden attacks again. Years ago, we get some backstory. Raiden's father decreed that his heir must be willing to kill his own brother to take over, but Raiden couldn't do it, so Shao Kahn won by default, I guess. Unless they had a third brother that Shao Kahn killed that we don't know about. Because apparently, if you're going to be the heir to someone, and that is that, those are the criteria, Kevin, and both of the brothers are still standing, doesn't it stand to reason that neither of them killed each other?
Neither of them killed each other, right? Because it's like, it's so dumb. A question for Blessing, because you actually like Mortal Kombat. Is that canon that they're brothers?
I don't think so. I don't remember ever cool moment, that though. Being a thing.
Like, wow, I am your father type moment. It was cool.
Lou's like, I really want to fight Khan now. No. Lou's like, I really want to fight Khan now. But he's like, but I guess I'm not ready because I still haven't seen this third test come up. Everyone keeps telling me I got to test into this gym. But they tell him, dude, you must believe in yourself because we believe in you. He goes, I fucking believe in myself, guys. I believe in myself. I passed the other test. I'll pass this other fucking test. Just give me the test. Oh, God. Anyway, Lou spots his home and gets energized. If we die, we will die in battle together. And everyone's like, yeah. Cool. And then Lou and the gang square off against all the generals and none of the 1,000 extermination squad that we saw earlier. Khan tells them to prepare for the final battle. So Raiden comes back to ask his father to end this. And he says, it's not weak. He's like, you're weak, Raiden. He's like, it's not weak to value life. And then Shao Kahn blasts him in the chest. And despite Lou telling him, you can't die, he dies. Lou puts on a serious face as Shao Kahn proclaims, this is the beginning of the end. Show them the way to oblivion. And then they all take their height slash weight appropriate opponent and square off. And the effects are punishingly bad, especially with the centaur and with Shiva's dead already. Never mind. The centaur's name is Mitaro.
Hey, honestly, that is so true. Yeah, she's Mitaro. Dead. Never mind. She gets this big intro where she's like, I'll fuck you up and have a fight. And then the birdcage just falls on her.
Motaro rips off one of Jax's arms to reveal his normal arm underneath. And
I was like, fucking mind was blown. It was a glove. I was like, what?
Why was he on the table?
How did it not rip off the rest of his body? You know,
if you can take those things off so easily, like, can I sit in a chair next time? Do I have to lay down? Anyway, when the other fails, he remembers the words of Raiden. When Raiden was dissing him earlier, he was like, your real strength is within. You don't need those weird arms anymore. So he takes them all off and then he beats Motaro's ass. Sonya snaps Ermac's neck and then Kitana murders Sindel to give her mother's soul peace. And then Shao Kahn gets the better of Lou. So it's time for the third test. Can you turn into a bad CG dragon? Because I can. It's my animality. Oh, wait, shit. You can turn into a giant CG dragon. Oh, okay, cool. Cool, 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 cool. So they fight, and then it's as if the audience is like, I can only take 13 seconds of this shit. I can only take 13 seconds of this shit, because they immediately fall off a cliff and turn back into human beings. Thank God. And then... let's see. Oh, but Khan is bleeding because he's mortal now, because there are consequences for breaking the rules, apparently. And then Khan's like, Dad, I need help. You have to give me my powers back. And he's like, fuck, do I have to do everything, son? And so he starts to give his powers back. But then the elders come in and they're like, hey, you can't do that. There have to be some consequences. And so they stay his hand. And then Khan is, I got to get this one right, right? One of the elders says, the fate of the universe will be decided as it should be.
This is where in it's Mortal so Kombat. Fucking hype. This is the coolest moment of the movie.
It's almost like the other one was like this. Play that fucking song because that shit just drops.
And you think it's going to be amazing and it does not play out cool at all. It plays the first like six stanzas of the song and goes away and you're like, wait, what happened in
like
the song?
That was weird call.
Is it only gonna play when Luke comes back? Oh, it's back because Luke started doing good again. Dude, it played out so bizarrely. It really makes no sense at all what they were doing here. Oh my gosh, this sequence is awful.
So strange.
But
so
the whole
of course
setup
when the song
of this part is just so ridiculous. Cause like the whole time they're like, you know, like he's got to figure out this thing. He figures it out, and it's like, oh, the bad guy also figured it out, and the bad guy has more heads than you, so he's probably stronger. And then, the bad guy knocked him out of his dragon form, and then now it's like now they're trying to hype it up. It's just so that's not
weird.
How things are done.
Totally,
you know.
Yeah.
Of course, Lou eventually, when the song kicks back in, gives Khan a double flip kick to the dome to end the fight, and his father gets sucked into the Phantom Zone. The world goes back to normal thanks to a clever use of that stock footage. Lou is transported back to his home, and Sindel is finally free. Sonya spots the elders in their natural form as they resurrect Raiden and give him his father's place in the Eternal Palace. Kitana and Lou make out a little bit, and then Raiden hits on them again, which is weird. And then he says, be there for one another, to everyone. You're family now. To which Lou replies, we are? Just we met like 2 days. All right, cool. We're family now. Raiden so evaporates into thin air.
They can bring Raiden back. Can we bring back Cage? Like, is that possible? No. All right.
No, because Raiden's a god. They just restored his immortality. Is basically what they did. Fun fact: Raiden and Shao Kahn's dad, the Emperor. I guess the Emperor is Emperor. I don't know.
Shinnok or what's his name?
Shinnok. I was gonna say he is a named character. I don't know if we covered this. He's a named character in the movie, and it is Shinnok.
Yeah,
so, interesting.
I didn't realize that.
He's,
yeah,
he's the god of death, right?
He's the god. Yeah, he is elder a god.
Elder god. Of death.
He's an elder god. Yeah.
I just have to rewatch the sequence. Again, there are some viewers out there that don't watch the movies along. That just like hearing us talk about, or viewers or listeners that just like hearing us talk about the movie. I implore you to please watch this final sequence and how bizarre it is set up with the hype music. And you're like, this is perfect. This is what they needed to end the movie. And then the music stops out of nowhere. And then somehow comes back in when Liu Kang starts doing good again. And it's just the weirdest fucking decision of all time.
But again, remember last week, Andy, I was telling you, it's like the Mortal Kombat theme, even in the other one, is used in such weird ways where it never starts at the right place. It just kind of starts 3 bars in, plays for like a weird amount of time, and then so cuts strange. Away. And when it so comes back strange. In this one, it's the most bizarre choice. Like,
yeah.
And Kevin's so right. It's like, have the big animality moment be like the Mortal Kombat. He fucking transforms, music playing. But no.
It's just right back in it. Like, so weird, man.
Kevin, you're right that he is the elder god of death, the fallen god. And so. There you go. Wow. Here's the thing I'll implore people to do. Please play Mortal Kombat 10 and Mortal Kombat 11 and Mortal Kombat 9. Like, the stories in those games are actually really good, and Shinnok is used like in a really cool way.
The three before that were terrible, right?
Yeah.
It's debatable.
But, like, I love Mortal Kombat Deception.
3 didn't have any story.
There wasn't any story. Mortal Kombat 4 was fucking terrible. But then, like, Deception, Shaolin Monks. Like, Mortal Kombat Alliance, like, depending on who you ask, there are people who are fans of those games. I am one of
those
people.
Which one is the
I do
one that
like
you, like,
games.
Travel through realms? That's Deception,
Deception.
Right?
That's Deception. It's fucking dope.
I played that one. That was fine.
Yeah.
All right. I love that this movie just ends with them, like, walking away, like, holding hands, happy smile, like, we did it, guys. Ridiculous.
Movie's over.
Andy, please hit me. A little bit of haiku interview.
Seven syllables in the middle. You'll need 5 for the first and last line. If you're not poetic, no need to fret it. Haikus don't need to rhyme. Haiku in review. Haiku in review.
Good enough.
You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny to write your review in haiku form. Just like Ignacio Rojas said. What the hell happened? They had something good going. This is just so bad.
So bad.
Travi Nick says, the portal opens. Punch, punch, kick, kick, slice them up. What else do we need? A lot more, Travi. A lot more. Lee Polero says, too much CGI. Not enough plot. Bad fight scenes. Worst reviewed movie? Question mark. Suburbanite Slob says, my childhood ruined. Fuck this movie forever. Porn parody bad.
Damn, that's a great pull.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
And of course, Miscellaneous writes in with plot in haiku for Mortal Kombat Annihilation. Seems peace could not last. Why is there a whole new cast? Damn, Johnny died fast. This movie's no fun. They have zero reaction to Tiny Dragon. Stop perving on Jade. Are you jealous, Sonya Blade? Raiden's powers fade. This movie fell flat, but I can't wait to come back for Mortal Kombat.
Damn, I can't wait for the next one. All I do right, want to also point
I'm very
out
excited.
One of the funniest things was that silly reptile scene, Tim, that kicks off the Raiden mm-hmm. versus the Reptile 1 and 2 fight, which, by the way, in IMDb, they're credited as Raptor, so that's why Nick had mentioned Raptor.
That's why I said Raptor, yeah.
But I don't know why. Maybe it is some different form. Who knows? But I love that sequence. It felt really, really short. It's a minute long. That fight scene only takes a minute. It is over before you think it's about to start. It's so weird how it's just like, oh, I guess they're dead now. That's all it needed.
I love it. I love it so much. That's great. All right. Where are we at with this? We got to do a little bit of Ragu Bagu, Nick.
Ragu Bagu. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Rad Guys Talk Bad Guys here for Mortal Kombat in review. Right now, the rankings are as follows. Number one, Chang Tsung and Goro from Mortal Kombat 1. Where do we want to put Snapcon, which is what my autocorrect it to,
just
and
two.
Sindel?
Just two.
Number two?
Just fucking two.
Yeah. Okay.
God damn it.
Can we just I wish we could put it lower.
We could put it at three. Like, there's no way.
We could put it at four, Kevin. We could put it at four.
Excellent. All right. I like that
are,
a
ladies
lot.
Gentlemen, the new rankings are Shang Tsung and Goro from Mortal Kombat 1, and then at number four, Snapcon and Sindel from Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
We forgot, Nick.
What did we forget?
A little segment. Were they born in labs? Oh. Now it's time to rank those abs.
What's
Jax,
up?
Jax
oh my
Jax.
God. Yeah, he looked fucking great. I was like, dude, that let that actor just be shirtless the entire time. I'm totally okay with that. He had great. I mean, also when he takes the arms off, I was like, bro, why would you even let them put you in those arms with those triceps?
Yeah. Does Jax go now? Like, I thought Jax and Mutaro both beautifully crafted and sculpted human beings.
You didn't think
do
Mutaro
they go
was
above?
Naturally thin.
Maybe is Mutaro it? Might thought, have like some contouring going on there with the painting of the abs and stuff like that. So I'm gonna disqualify him because he was
really?
In a costume.
Wow.
Entire time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, do they go above Robin Shao? Because Robin Shao in part one was extremely cut.
So here's what I'm gonna say. You know my rule on this, right? This is no disrespect to Robin, but he very cut, very low body percentage body fat. But the actor that played Jax, easily 20 pounds of muscle and still had a fucking 8-pack. So that dude is. Far and away, he's number one on the list. What is his name?
I'm gonna Jax was played by. Why is it not popping up on IMDb? Oh, Lin Red Williams.
There you go. He's number one with a bullet for sure. And that's it. Go.
Now it's time to rank the Mortal Kombat movies. Currently number one, Mortal Kombat 1995. Where do we put Annihilation?
Dead last.
It's two. It's
Dead
three. Put it
this
at three.
Movie is what I thought when I was on Indiana Jones in review. This is what I thought Crystal Skull was going to be when I started watching Indiana Jones with the Crystal Skull. And I was like, thank God that movie was just like regular bad and not bad. It was not a good movie, but this movie is fucking horrendous.
Yeah,
I can. I wish. Are we able? How often in review do you guys like create a new, like, I don't know, like a number four, or number five? When there's only
it's rare, but it has happened. Spider-Man 3 had a coveted number six slot, but when we first started, Catwoman had one. Transformers: The Last Knight. This is definitely in that category.
Because if there's an opposite of a seal of approval, I'd be down for it. Honestly.
Yeah, bless. There was a kind of funny podcast post show we did a while back where a questioner wrote in a reader. Listener, whatever the fuck you want to call him, viewer, wrote in and said, can you all rank the bottom worst movies in, like, of all the series you've done, here's a list of whatever's at the bottom. Now rank the worst ones. Yeah. And I wish we had that list, because this would be right up there with the Catwomans of the world, with Transformers Last Night.
I feel like Catwoman is the only movie that is, like, close. Like, I feel like this movie's terrible.
I think Catwoman's better than this movie.
I don't know. I still argue. Like, at least... No, it doesn't matter. Let's not have this argument.
Yeah.
But, man, this movie is crap. This is a terrible movie. And I'm mad that we watched this movie, you know? I don't know how,
I'm glad we did it. Because
I'm glad I watched it on work hours. I watched it on the clock yesterday.
On the clock.
Yeah. I did the same thing, and so I'm happy I did that. But, yeah, like, this is one of those ones where... The way we talk about Mortal Kombat 1 is being fun bad, right? Like, there are so many, for me as somebody who really likes Mortal Kombat, there are so many characters they put into this movie that there should be no way that I'm not invested the whole way through and I'm not having fun the whole way through. You're telling me you got Jade in this thing, you got Baraka up in this thing, you put Shiva in there, you got Cyrax, like, you got all, you brought back Scorpion and Sub-Zero and you made them fight each other. There's so many things that they did in this movie that should have made it work. But it felt like in the first movie, they had that good balance of, hey, let's have 10 characters and we're going to make each character shine. Like, we shouted out the fact that each of the characters had their signature moves in the movie.
Yeah.
This is one where it felt like they were like, all right, let's just fucking throw all the action figures. I think Tim mentioned it right before. Like, how many characters would be right for this movie? 12?
All
right, let's go 36.
It does seem like the first movie, they try to pay some level of reverence to the source material. And this one, it was like, anyone who cared about the games was just like, I'm too beat down by this process. And yeah. I just like, I'm so shocked that this had more budget than the first one. Because I would have put money that they took like half the budget out of the first. I thought the first one's like $5 million for the first one. How much do we have for the second one? 250K maybe?
It feels like they went cheaper with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it feels like the production studio was like, well, we can kill Johnny Cage off. We don't have to pay that actor more. I'm sure he's going to ask for more. We can kill him off. Sonya Blade actress, she's asking for more money, so let's get a new one. Let's get, like, it really feels like they cut costs to make this in hopes that they would just make a shitload of money on the smallest amount of budget possible. But Nick, I mean, look at Mutaro, dude. Pretty fucking ripped, dude.
That guy looks really ripped.
They're painting. They're painting those abs. I can't tell.
Look at his sweet tail, though.
Andy, can you show me the moment where he gets punched? Jax punches him. I feel like his stomach looks like it's all warped. The horse part.
The Jax gooch punch. The iconic special again. Move.
Raiden was like, I forget what he said to Jax, but he said something along the lines of like, strength is within you. You don't need those things. Yeah. And then when he's fighting Hamtaro or whatever his name is.
I had the same thought watching it.
But like, he took off the shit and he was like, oh, I can do this on raw strength. And it's like, no, you can't, bro. You're struggling with the machine arms. Like, leave those things on. Like, I know you only got one left, but keep using it. You're going to die.
Why does this look like an Animorphs book cover right here?
Oh, no. Well, everybody. After popular demand, we're returning next week with Pixar in review, The Incredibles, and continuing Mortal Kombat in review with Balls of Fury. We will be adding Balls of Fury to our ranking and reviewing of the Mortal Kombat movies, and then the week after that, we're doing the new Mortal Kombat movie.
Why are we making a mockery of this? List? Let's just make a new list of random movies that we watch.
And next week, get hyped. It's happening. How excited are you, Nick?
Nick, you get what I'm saying, right? Let's make a new list.
I mean, the idea of doing others in review or something. Listen, you guys are going to listen. It's going to be at least better than I like. You guys are going to see all the parallels of the shared worlds that are the epic worlds of Mortal Kombat and Balls of Fury. It's going to be good.
Until next time.
Goodbye, everybody. I'm so sorry.